You're listening to CKGI, Gabriola Co-op Radio. And this is Arts on Board. Well, welcome back to Arts on Board. My name is Frank Moore. And the 2014 Gabriola Isle of the Arts Festival is upon us, running from April 17th to 27th on the island, presented by the Gabriola Arts Council. Just all sorts of workshops and presentations and concerts happening. Yeah, I'm looking at the brochure here. Let me see what we have. We have Build a Piece of Furniture from Driftwood with Tony Grove. Introduction to Free Expression Painting, The Art of Surrender with Carolyn James. Inside the World of Hand-Drawn Animation, and we'll be speaking with the artist presenting that one, who's coming all the way from L.A. to do it. What else? Creativity in the Cosmos, Make a Gorgeous Piece of Silver Jewelry, Photography, Portraiture from the Ground Up, Craft Fair Tell All. Well, obviously, this is a good subject for a show called Arts on Board, so I headed out into the island, onto the island, to speak with two of the local artists involved. Devin Featherstone, who's presenting a workshop called Painting Your Animal. That's not about putting a coat of paint on your dog. It's actually creating a portrait of an animal. And also Jeff Malloy, who's presenting a talk, a conversation called Keeping It Real, Surviving Art Intact. And then in the second half of this episode, I speak with Trevor Tambeline. And we find out about how he made the journey from Salt Spring to Los Angeles, where he has become a very sought-after animator, working with most of the major studios there. And so to begin this episode, here's my conversation with the artist, Devin Featherstone. First of all, Devin, thank you for inviting me to come to your beautiful yard here with the wind chimes and the birds. I like to find out how artists came to be on Gabriola. How did you come to be on Gabriola?
Well, I was living in Parksville and decided I needed to change and something with a little more of an arts community. So Gabriola was this place to come.
Right. And when was that?
That was 5 years ago.
And have you been a painter all your life?
I would say so. Even a little girl, you know, always drawing. And professionally about 35 years now, so.
Right. And since coming to Gabriola, did you find the community you wanted?
Yes, I did. I really did. I did. The energy over here, the people, it's just, it's perfect for me to kind of recluse away and create.
Now, for the Isle of the Arts Festival, you're doing a workshop on painting your animal, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Are there particular aspects to painting an animal that one has to learn?
There is, and I discovered it years ago when I was in Vancouver and I was going to dog shows and doing a lot of portrait work in my early career. And I discovered that, you know, it's the eyes of, especially of dogs and horses as well, but their eyes, if they don't have that very sensitive look to them, that's where the life sits. If you look at an animal's portrait,
oh, I see.
And if their eyes are just looking flat, dull, they haven't captured that animal. So I find that's a really important area, is the eyes.
So what animals have you painted in your time?
Birds. I did a parrot. I've done parrots. And I've
Somebody's
done,
pet parrot, is
yeah,
that right?
A pet parrot, uh-huh. Yeah, an African
did
gray.
Did the parrot say anything about the painting?
No, because I work basically from photographs, so not too many live models, although sometimes the photographs aren't that great. You know, people bring you a photograph and say, and it's a tiny little image, so it's nice to see the animal if you can, if the photograph's not quite up to snuff. But so horses, a few cats. I'm not really a cat person. It doesn't seem like as many cat people have their portraits done for their pets as dog people do, so probably mostly dogs more than anything else.
I see. So tell us what you'll be doing at your workshop at the Isle of the Arts Festival.
Well, I've made it pretty flexible that people can choose whatever animal they want to paint. They don't even have to own an animal. If they just want to learn how to paint an animal, you know, that's fine too. But to bring their own subject matter in a photograph and their own medium, so they can, if they just like to draw, they can do pencil.
Oh,
if they like to paint, they can bring their paints. And so I'll guide them through whatever medium they'd like to try it in, because I'm pretty versatile in most of them, so I figured that would give everybody a chance to, you know, right. go with their strengths.
They shouldn't bring their animal with them?
No, it's going to be, if they need to bring a photograph, I think it would be pretty chaotic if we had a lot of cats and dogs together there.
The artist Devon Featherstone presents her workshop, Animal Portraits. Oh, darn, I guess it's not called Painting Your Animal. That's too bad. I just love the image, you know, of taking a can of paint to your gerbil or something. Anyway, Animal Portraits from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday, April 18th. By the way, sorry, we had a little wind noise happening there as I interviewed Devon in her yard. Forgot to bring my microphone's windsock. Never forget your microphone's windsock. Let's see, what else do we have here in the brochure for the festival? Moving into the second part of it later in April. Welcome to Your Sewing Machine with Liz Nienaber. Singing for the Terrified, Penny Sidor. That'll be a very popular one, I imagine. Fundamentals of Good Acting with my buddy Anthony Holland. And who would know the fundamentals better than Anthony? Sound and Lighting How To with Steve Elder and Lawrence Spiro. Well, as you can tell, it's a potpourri of talented people just waiting to turn you into an even more talented person than you already are. And among those is also the island artist Jeff Malloy, who's well known to us for his iconography, often involving Louis Riel, and other emblems of Canada, of Western Canada. And I'm a huge fan of Jeff's for reasons I explained early in my interview with him. But I really wanted to go talk to him because I found the subject of his presentation fascinating. Keeping It Real, Surviving Art Intact. A discussion on the importance of ritual and personal process in art making and how it can feed your soul. Well, yes, but the concept that actually being an artist is sometimes difficult and requires survival tactics. Well, I think most of us who have lived as artists, and especially who have attempted to make livings as artists, know all about that. But we don't talk about it all the time. So I'm very appreciative that Jeff is taking on this subject, and I wanted to get a little preview of it. Here's our conversation. So, Jeff Malloy, thank you so much for letting me come to your studio. I'm a huge fan of your work, partly because I'm an ex-prairieite, and all the iconography in it resonates with me. But I'm also very interested in what you're doing for the Isle of the Arts Festival. Your workshop, or it's not a workshop, is it? What is it you're doing?
It's more of a discussion. Right. It's an artist talk discussion. You know, the talk, it's about the side of art that isn't making art. It isn't the object itself. It's about being an artist and how you go about thinking and making your work. Having reverence and for your studio rather than your work. I think, for example, if you think about churches, you can see a church from 100 miles away. It's an object, it's a place that's developed over a long period of time. It's very specific, and it's become what it is for a very specific reason. And I think a studio is the same way. I think that over time, your studio needs to become a place not where you make art, but where you make yourself vulnerable. So, you know, when you come to your studio, it's a place where you can dive below the surface, go beyond the slow camera. Mm-hmm. It's not about technique. It's not about skill. It's about getting at a part of yourself that goes into the work, and it can't go into the work any other way from my own personal experience.
Right. Do you change when you walk into your studio?
Absolutely. I mean, I think when I show up in my studio, I become who I am in my studio. Mm-hmm. There's a series of rituals that I go through. I have a certain way of approaching my work. It's developed over a long, long period of time. Many of the things I do, I've discovered by accident. My toolkit has just gotten larger and larger. I focus on my state of mind and the space in which I create the work, and I try to keep the work, the precious, out of the work. Mm-hmm. Have the precious in where I am and the precious in the process that I'm experiencing.
Right. So what are your rituals?
Well, I have several rituals that I do. I mean, it depends on the kind of work that I'm doing. When I show up, I generally like to sort of organize my space, mm-hmm. start thinking about what it is that I'm going to do, come and try to show up at the studio without any expectation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And if I'm, you know, if I'm doing work that's spiritual, then I do lots of smudging and silence, you know, sitting, staring, just, you know, all the things that probably many artists do in their studio. Mm-hmm. They don't even realize it. They'll work for a while, then they'll back up 10 feet, stand in a certain way, hold their brush, look at the thing, make a decision, mm-hmm. Do the dance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think it fluctuates, but I see it as a ritual. I see my art making process as me searching for ritual in my life, and that's how I've made it happen.
And why is that ritual important to creating the work?
I just think ritual is very important to being human. Mm. It goes back as far as we do, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think that the loss of ritual in contemporary society is responsible for a lot of our problems. Mm-hmm. We become disconnected. Mm.
Does that sort of mourning for a loss of ritual find its way into your art?
It finds its way into my process, not so much into my art. Right. So I guess indirectly into my art. Mm-hmm. I just know, like from experience as a kid, seeing art, having feelings, and coming to the realization that those feelings had to go into the work in order for them to come off the work.
Right.
So if you're, you know, if you're just standing there recording, what the person is going to see is a recording. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're engaged in the work on a deeper level, then that's what radiates from the work.
Right. So at the talk, what will you be doing in addition to talking about ideas like this?
I haven't even actually decided that. I don't know if I will have any visuals, if I'll take some work with me.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping is it's almost like a therapy. Mm-hmm. I expect that it'll be artists that'll attend it.
I was going to ask you, who should attend?
Artists should attend, because it's an opportunity to discuss the part of art that isn't the technique. Look, let me demonstrate how you do this. This is the mixture for that.
Right. And is this just visual artists? I'm a writer. And I do
think
exactly the things you're talking about.
I don't think it matters. Your medium, like when see people say, what's your medium? I say, my medium is whatever it needs to be to get the job done. Mm-hmm. So it's no different for a writer or a dancer. Mm-hmm. I think that they have to create a space where they can act their art out in a way that they feel safe and genuine, honest.
Right. The talk is called Surviving Art Intact. Is art a hard gig to survive?
Yes. I mean, art is a hard gig to survive if all you want to do is make something that's going to sell. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as hard a gig to survive. If you want to create objects that speak about who you are, that become your legacy, that you put objects out into the world that people protect because of the effect that they have on them, if that's what you want to do, yeah, it's not easy to do that.
Financially, emotionally?
Emotionally and financially, because...
Well, we know about the financial.
Your objective isn't really, because your objective at that point isn't to create something to sell. Your objective is to create something. It's your voice. It's what you want to say. For whatever reason, you feel compelled to make an object that addresses either an issue or something that touched you, that has meaning to you personally. And, you know, what I try to do is try and leave it as open as possible. Mm-hmm. So that people can own it themselves, that they can recognize themselves in the work. Because right. That's what I think compels people to buy it.
Jeff, thanks for talking with me.
It's been a pleasure.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Reed, and you are listening to Gabriola Co-op Radio, my station, my island.
Moon, bound, 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 bound. the new Moonsicle. Coming to Gabriola and Nanaimo, it's Moonbound, a new musical by Frank Moore, that's me, and Antonio Gradanti, who made that music track you're listening to, loosely, very loosely, based on a novel by H.G. Wells, starring Kathy McIntyre and Antonio Gradanti, with Joel Baird, David Cosby, Steve Elder, Jennifer Feenan, Sadie Gambrell, Emma Hooten, Doris McLaughlin, Bill Miner, Diana Moher, Nick Scholes, Cody Scott, and Miss Mara's Dancers. On Gabriola, May 23rd and 24th in the Phoenix Auditorium at The Haven. In Nanaimo, June 6th, 7th, and 8th in the Malaspina Theatre at Vancouver Island University. Tickets online at moonboundmusical.com. And starting April 30th at Artworks on Gabriola and Harbor City Music in Nanaimo. Moonbound, it's the Earth premiere. Let's see what else is in the brochure. By the way, I'm sitting here trying to pretend I didn't just run a commercial for my own musical. So, if you would like to catch Jeff Malloy's talk, Keeping It Real, Surviving Art Intact, it is on Saturday, April 19th at 2:40 p.m. Where? I don't know. The brochure doesn't seem to say. However, I'm sure Artworks can tell you. And the brochure for the festival is available at various locations on the island, as well as online at artsgabriola.ca. And Jeff Malloy's website is malloy.ca. And now, onto the final of the interviews on this special episode of Arts on Board about the 2014 Isle of the Arts Festival, and that is with Trevor Tambellin, who is coming to do two sessions regarding animation. And I began by asking him to narrate the rather twisty journey that got him from the Gulf Islands to Los Angeles.
I grew up, my father's side of the family lived in Ladner and were homesteaders on Westham Island. It's all farmland in Ladner. And then we moved over when I was 9 years old to Salt Spring. And in my mother's old house where she lived with my grandmother, and they were homesteaders, so on Salt Spring. So, yeah, I grew up on Salt Spring, went right through most of elementary school and high school on the island. And yeah, it was idyllic actually growing up in both places.
So what was the route from Salt Spring to L.A., where I think you are now? Is that correct? You're in Los Angeles?
Yeah, that is kind of a circuitous route. I went through high school. I played a lot of sports. I was hoping maybe to get a scholarship in football or things like that, and it fell through. And I could always draw. I was always interested in it too. And then I ended up taking the, I went to Camosun College and took their visual arts program in Victoria. And then I moved to, I went to the Middle East and Europe on a 4 month journey that was really interesting and broadened my worldview for sure. And then I came back and moved to Vancouver. And while I was there, I just kept up the drawing, but then I took the Columbia Academy course in broadcasting, and I'd hoped maybe to become a broadcaster. But part of the course is doing the actual broadcasting for radio and TV, but the other half is doing writing script or writing copy for both. And the copy for TV is storyboarding. And so I kind of fell in love with the storyboarding part of that. A friend of mine, a family friend, was watching the NewsHour one day. And this was back when some of the small studios in Vancouver were really picking up and doing really well in animation. And I guess from what he got out of the NewsHour spot, he gathered that they were looking for talent. So he wrote down all the phone numbers and gave them to me. Now, I had never even considered animation. I've always been a fan of animation. I've loved it my whole life. Probably more the Warner Brothers shorts, the Looney Tunes and things like that, more so than the Disney features. But I've always loved animation. And I thought, well, you know what? I bet I can do this. And So I called up the first number on the list, which was Delaney and Friends, and I talked to someone there, and they said, okay, yeah, just come down with your portfolio tomorrow. I didn't have a portfolio. So I borrowed my sister-in-law's leather portfolio, put together some things that I had, greeting cards and things I'd made for friends, photos of murals I'd done in friends' houses, and just anything that I could find. Wore a suit and tie. The very last time I wore a suit and tie in a studio, because when I walked in, everyone assumed I was management. And, and I walked in and showed my stuff, and they said, great. Looks like you have what we want, and do you want to start now? And I was kind of floored, and so I started drawing right away. And it wasn't until years later when I used the owner, Chris Delaney. I talked to him about asking him for a letter of reference when I was coming down to L.A. And he said, so you think it was kind of easy to get in here to get a job? And I said, well, it kind of seemed that way. And he said, well, we had over 200 applicants come in after that NewsHour special. And he goes, we hired two. So it was me and this other guy. And so I guess my style of what my style of art was what they were looking for. So I also at some of the other studios in Vancouver too. But I won a green card in a lottery. I applied for card, a U.S. green card, won it. A friend of mine from Delaney and Friends was working down at Rich Animation Studios in Burbank on the movie The Swan Princess. I called him up and said, are they looking for help? Is there a chance for a job? And he put me on hold, came back and said, yep, there's a desk waiting for you. So it took me about 6 to 7 months to go through the immigration process. And then I moved down. And that was in 1994, 2 weeks before the Northridge quake. And I almost turned around and came right back to Vancouver.
Welcome to L.A.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a nice welcome.
So what are some of the shows you've worked on since then while being down there?
I started out on The Swan Princess, and that was for Rich Animation Studios. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped to Disney Feature Animation, and I worked on Pocahontas. And then I went on to the Fantasia 2000 crew. And the best part of that was we were always waiting for the directors to come off the big movies to do their portion of Fantasia. And so in between, to keep us busy, they put us on the big films. So normally there would be it got to where there were two films being done at a time, and you were on one or the other. But because we were on, you know, we were with Fantasia, we would go and help out with all the big ones. So I also worked on Hunchback, then Hercules, then Tarzan, Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis, and then Disney decided to downsize and get rid of their 2D animation department. So we were all cast to the winds, and I immediately got picked up by DreamWorks, and I started working on Sinbad. And at the same time I was working on Sinbad, I got asked to work on Looney Tunes Back in Action at Warner Brothers, and that was a dream come true, because again, I was, you know, always more liked the Looney Tunes characters the most. And so I got to head up the cleanup of Daffy Duck on that film. And that was just a dream. Mm-hmm. Then I did some TV work also, different studios, South Park, Family Guy. And then most recently, I came back and worked on Princess and the Frog when Disney started up their 2D again. And the last project I've just been working on is an animation project for Tokyo Disneyland.
Right. So there are some fairly exotic job titles happening in animation, like cleanup artist, I think, is one, storyboard revisionist.
Yes.
What is it you actually do?
Well, a cleanup artist is where you take the rough drawings that the animators generate, and you give them the polished look that you see on the screen with the really nice line work. But also, which I think is kind of forgotten, is you are making each character look like it's been done by the same artist. For instance, you know, say Pocahontas might have 6 or 7 animators working on her. They all draw differently. they all slightly draw her, you know, off, I guess, off model. We have model sheets and sculptures called maquettes that help us keep the characters looking the same. And so we use those to control the design of the animation without losing the animation, which is really important, because a lot of times people will try to clean up and they'll be too exacting. And sometimes an animator will want a squash or a stretch. And if you're trying to get it to look like the model sheet, it's not, you're not doing it justice. So you need to maintain that fluidity and maintain the animation while making it look like it was drawn by one artist. So that's what cleanup is. Storyboard revision is taking storyboards and adding animation to the storyboards where necessary. The directors will come in and decide, well, you know, a storyboard is a representation of what a scene will look like when it's animated. And it's an easy way to kind of scan through animation at its early stages to see how it's going to look.
Right. So do you have connections here on Gabriola, friends, family that's bringing you here?
Well, I went to high school with Kathy Ramsey, and she has the great gallery on the island. And,
right.
You know, Facebook has been the
right.
the reconnector of all. And so we got chatting, and she said, you know, would you be interested in coming and talking? And I've always wanted to give back because, you know, I've been given help along the way and, you know, in this journey. And I wished I'd had someone talk to me when I was young and I could have started it sooner. You know, I kind of was, if someone had said, you can do this. I mean, growing up on a little island, as you know, it's someone telling you, you may work at Disney one day. It's about as right. you know, plausible as flying to Mars. It just doesn't equate, but it's possible. And I just right. wanted to, any chance I get, talk to kids or talk to anybody that's interested in this and give back, because I've been really fortunate. It's been a great journey and a great career, and I'm very grateful.
Right. So what will you be doing at your workshop on the 20th?
Well, I'm putting together right now some clips of things that I've worked on and different parts of the animation process that I can explain on how it's created. I just want to give more of an overview on how the industry runs, how it works, how different the areas, I guess, that I'm most experienced in, how they work, and how I can explain how those work in and fit into an animated film, and also to help show some of the teens and the younger kids on how to draw. I wish, too, I'd listened to my art teacher more. And she had it right. And she always said, draw from life. Don't draw from photos right. or anything, because they're already flattened images. You need to mm-hmm. learn how to create and turn things. And I didn't, you know, I wanted to draw a tiger. I wanted to draw, you know, the Canuck goalie. I wanted to draw something I couldn't sit down and in real life capture. So I wished I'd listened to her, because that's what they hammer into you when you come down here and you learn from the masters. They'll tell you, you have to draw things from life, from three dimension. And that's kind of what I want to show too, is how to do that.
Well, Trevor, it'll be great to have you here on the island. Thanks for coming.
And, yeah, really.
Thanks for speaking.
Growing up on the Gulf Islands, I'm ashamed to say I've never been to Gabriola. So I'm actually really looking forward to coming over and seeing it. I've heard only very good things about the island and its people.
Well, we'll be glad to have you here. Thank you for speaking with me.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Frank.
Trevor Tambellini will be presenting two workshops while he's here. The first on Sunday, April 20th, from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. inside the World of Hand-Drawn Animation. That's upstairs at Artworks, no charge. That one is for teens only. However, on Monday, April 21st, from 4 to 5 p.m., he does it again, upstairs at Artworks, for all ages. That workshop costs $10. And Trevor told me he'd also be speaking at the school on Tuesday morning, so teachers and students, you have that to look forward to.
The Heart.
Well, that's it. My thanks to Devin Featherstone, Jeff Malloy, and Trevor Tambellini for speaking with me for this episode of Arts on Board. Our thanks to the people at the Gabriel Arts Council who have put together the 2014 Isle of the Arts Festival, and to all of you who will be getting out to take part in its events. Because, as you know, the best way to enjoy the arts in your community is to become a part of them. See you next time on Arts on Board.
My heart is smiling. Smiling 'cause it's almost gone. Yes, it's almost gone, and I need to get along. You're me.